Hi, I'm Fred Caston. Welcome to Jazz New Orleans here on New Orleans Public Radio, 89.9 WWNO, WWNO.org. Every Friday night at 8, 2 hours of the best jazz from the last 70 years, with a strong accent on New Orleans, and an extended conversation with our Jazz New Orleans Player of the Week. This week, that is with the wonderful pianist and composer Peter Martin, who grew up in St. Louis, moved to New Orleans, then back to St. Louis, after Katrina.
It's pretty hard to sort of put New Orleans totally out of your mind in terms of living there. And every time I come back, which has, you know, been a fair amount, is I feel like I'm like right back at home, you know.
Yeah.
So that's always a real reminder for me. You know, I mean, I kind of still feel most comfortable in New Orleans.
Lots more coming up with Peter Martin in about 45 minutes here on Jazz New Orleans. Right now, a tune written by Bobby Troup back in 1946, recorded that same year by Nat King Cole in one of the classic versions. It was nearly an instant classic and a hit for Nat Cole. Hundreds of recordings have followed from folks as diverse as Aerosmith, Depeche Mode, and the Rolling Stones. This version is from guitarist and vocalist John Pizzarelli. Get your kicks out here on Route 66.
If you ever plan to move to the west, travel my way, take the highway, that's the best. Get your kicks on Route 66. It winds from Chicago to L.A. More than 2,000 miles all the way. Get your kicks on Route 66. Now you go through St. Louis, Joplin, Missouri, Oklahoma City, looks my height every day. You see Amarillo, Gallup, New Mexico, Flagstaff, Arizona, don't forget Winona, Kingman, Barstow, San Bernardino. Won't you get hip to this timely tip when you make that California trip? Get your kicks on Route 66. Thank you. get to this time limit when you make that California trip. I get your kicks on Route 66. I get your kicks on Route 66. Get your kicks, get your kicks on 66.
John Pizzarelli, Route 66 on Jazz New Orleans, 89.9 WWNO, WWNO.org. Hi, I'm Fred Caston. Very nice to have you along for Jazz New Orleans tonight. Coming up, a tune that was a big hit for Bobby Darin back in 1960 and later showed up in many films, including Apollo 13 and Finding Nemo. And Sonny Rollins checks in with a musical essay on the northeast corner of Brazil that many people say is very much like New Orleans. Jazz New Orleans is made possible in part thanks to the generosity of anonymous New Orleans music lovers and the music lovers at Snug Harbor Jazz Bistro, 626 Frenchman Street. Complete schedule information available at snugjazz.com. Now, a very evocative tune written by Duke Ellington and his longtime valve trombonist Juan Tizol, and done beautifully by amazing pianist Michelle Petrucciani, Caravan.
Thank you. on the sea, somewhere waiting for me. My lover stands on golden sands and watches the ships that go sailing somewhere beyond the sea. She's there watching for me. If I could fly like the birds on high, then straight to her arms I'd go sailing. It's far beyond the stars, it's near beyond the moon. I know beyond a doubt my heart will lead me there soon. We'll meet, I know we'll meet beyond the shore. We'll kiss just like before. Happy we'll be beyond the sea, and never again I'll go sailing. Go sailing somewhere beyond the sea. She's there watching for me. If I could fly like the birds on high and straight to the arms, I'd go sailing. It's far beyond the stars. Just like before, happy we'll be beyond the sea, and never again I'll go sailing, no more sailing, so long sailing, goodbye sailing, we'll be wild. Thank you.
We'll be right back.
pianist McCoy Tyner and his big band, Blues for Basie, and singer Tom Lellis' terrific version of Beyond the Sea, which Bobby Darin took to number 6 on the pop charts back in 1960. Jazz New Orleans, 89.9, WWNO, WWNO.org. I'm Frank Haston. Thanks for joining me here tonight. What a wonderful week of autumn weather we've had, and a tune that salutes autumn coming up, courtesy of Mel Torme and Rob McConnell with the Boss Brass. Also, Art Pepper goes walking later on Jazz New Orleans tonight. Right now, Dr. Billy Taylor checking in, featuring Jerry Mulligan with a Mulligan original, Line for Lions.
We'll be right back.
From his CD, This Is What I Do, with Salvador. Jazz New Orleans on New Orleans Public Radio, 89.9 WWNO, WWNO.org. I'm Fred Kast, and sure glad you stopped by for Jazz New Orleans tonight, just in time for our Jazz New Orleans Player of the Week extended conversation. This week, that is, with pianist and composer Peter Martin. Peter Martin was born in Florida, grew up in St. Louis, started music very early.
Both my parents are musicians, and there was a lot of music in my house as I was growing up. So it was sort of a real natural thing. I actually started playing violin when I was like 2.5, 3 years old. My mother's a Suzuki violin teacher, and she was, you know, teaching real young kids and really developing. Actually, we were still living in Florida. I was born in Central Florida, and we moved to St. Louis. My family did when I was 6 years old. So, before, you know, well before we even moved here, I was playing violin with my mom, and then I started piano because my sister had been taking, she's 3 years older than me, and I really, you know, looked up to her and just kind of gravitated towards the instrument, and so I started doing piano, and really kept up violin on and off, but kept that up till I was about 12 or 13 as well.
Do you still own one, a violin?
I do, and I've actually been playing a fair amount because my two younger kids are playing Suzuki violin, and so I practice with them, and you know, the Suzuki method has a lot of parental involvement, so I've been, you know, pulling out all my old tunes, and my daughter's very excited because she's gotten further than I did in the Suzuki pedagogy now.
Yeah,
she's very intent on passing me up, which she's now done. So now I have to learn the pieces she's learning with her because I never did them.
Jazz was a part of Peter Martin's musical life early on as well.
My dad listen to jazz, and he had, you know, a nice collection of LPs and would put it on, but it was always sort of, that's just my dad's thing. But I mean, I think there was something, it definitely laid the foundation for me enjoying what that sound was and later gravitating towards it. When I was really about 12 years old is when I first started saying, well, let me try to play some of this stuff. And the middle school I went to called Brittany Woods, they had a really good stage band, you know, jazz band for 7th and 8th grade. So that was the year of 7th grade. And it just so happened that in my 7th grade class was Jeremy Davenport and Chris Thomas and some other guys, too, that were, you know, into playing. So we formed a little group even outside of the big band that we had at school, a little combo, and our band director let us rehearse in the room. We used to come before school, and Jeremy's father, a guy named Roger Davenport, you know, kind of organized some charts for us, some music of some tunes, and just some other stuff that we took off of records. And so it was really, you know, I was interested in playing jazz from hearing it, but then also doing it at school and then playing with my friends in this other band. It was a really fun thing. And then we started getting gigs, just little stuff around town and parties. And the very first gig we did was like a bank opening. I don't even know how we got that gig. I do remember we got paid $5 each, which I thought was funny because we got checks from the bank. And we were expecting a big payday because it was at a bank. You know, we thought they'd just open up the vault for us, but it didn't turn out that way.
No free samples.
No, right, exactly. But I mean, we just, you know, having so many different opportunities to play, you know, with my peers, and they were really my closest friends also. It was kind of a perfect situation.
After high school, Peter Martin headed to New York to study piano performance at Juilliard.
Went up to New York and was studying just classical music, because at that time there was no jazz department at Juilliard. In fact, that's a pretty recent thing that they have there, maybe in the last 10 years. And so I was there for a year and a half, and then I got a chance to play with Betty Carter. You know, I kind of went to New York, you know, certainly to go to Juilliard, but it was also to sort of check out the jazz scene and you know, hopefully meet some other young musicians and that kind of thing. And so I got a chance to play with Betty Carter, mainly just through meeting some New York musicians, in particular Greg Hutchinson. Betty Carter was looking for a new pianist, and Greg recommended me, and you know, Betty Carter basically told him, well, I don't know who that is. So he said, well, he's playing a gig tonight. This is up in New York. And so he brought her to hear me, and then she asked me to join her band. So I started doing that, which was just, you know, an amazing experience. But around that same time, I got a chance to play with Marlon Jordan, great New Orleans trumpet player, who I'd actually known since I was in high school. And so he had a bunch of gigs, and he just had his first record out. And so some of the gigs were in New Orleans. So I came down, and there was a group of musicians from St. Louis, Jeremy Davenport and Chris Thomas, and then a bunch of guys that I met right when I came to New Orleans to work with Marlon, Bryce Winston, David Morgan. A lot of the guys that were in the very first class of the program at UNO, of the jazz studies, you know, when it started up with Ellis Marsalis. And I met Victor Goins right around that same time. So I just really, you know, gravitated towards the scene and sort of stayed temporarily in New Orleans, and then ended up moving there just mainly because of that group of musicians, you know, and also certainly meeting Ellis Marsalis. And then shortly after, I met Jermaine Basil, and she asked me to do some gigs. And I just loved the you know, the jazz community and the warmth there, and certainly a lot of things about the city that I, you know, started to learn about after I was there for a minute.
Peter Martin based himself in the Crescent City and played here often. His working trio at one time included bassist Chris Thomas and drummer Brian Blade. He also started touring nationally and internationally with such artists as Joshua Redman, Diane Reeves, and his own top-notch groups. After Katrina, he moved his family back to St. Louis.
Coming back to New Orleans is still something that, it's funny because my wife and I sort of talked about it almost on a daily basis for a long time, or it sort of came up in our thoughts or in our conversations. And it's kind of gone to more the back of our minds, but I think it's still there. And I think for most people that have kind of exiled at this point, it's pretty hard to sort of put New Orleans totally out of your mind in terms of living there. And every time I come back, which has, you know, been a fair amount, I feel like I'm like right back at home, you know. So that's always a real reminder for me. You know, I mean, I kind of still feel most comfortable in New Orleans.
Here is Peter Martin with a captivating, evocative composition from his first CD, recorded here in the Crescent City with Adonis Rose, Roland Guerin, and Bryce Winston, drums, bass, and sax, respectively. The CD is The Answer. The Peter Martin tune is the end to that yang, La Pregunta, The Question. Thank you. Our Jazz New Orleans Player of the Week, Peter Martin, with La Pregunta, the question from his terrific CD, The Answer, first came out in 2000, recorded right here in the Crescent City, 2011, reissued and currently still available. Get it, it's great.